Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just grateful. Grateful to be here, grateful to be in your presence, grateful to be with your body, the body of believers, Lord. Grateful to have another day to worship you and to praise you and to glorify you and to bear fruit for your name, Lord. And Father, we want to pray. We want to pray for Zach and Sam. Pray a blessing on them, Lord, that you would encourage them and that you would be their focus every step of the way of their life, Lord, and that together they would be better than separate, and together they would be a force to be reckoned with, Lord, in the spiritual realm, and that you would fill them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Lord. We want to pray for Kenny also, just pray for strength and courage, boldness. Pray for peace for him and Michelle and the family, that you would encourage them through all this as you have been and continue to lead them on into the great things that you have for them ahead, Lord. And we pray for Daryl and Sherry. We pray a special blessing on them. We ask, Lord, as they move forward in this adventure that you have them on, we pray that you would keep them and watch over them. Pray that they would continue to walk in the light, Lord, and continue to be fruitful and to bless those kids that they're going to minister to, Lord. And we're so thankful, God, for your word, your truth. I pray, God, that this morning your word would be something that our hearts would be wide open to receive, that we'd have ears to hear. And I believe you have something so important for us to know this morning. And it's not just those words on the page, but it's the spirit and the life behind those words, Lord. It's your revelation to your people, to your church, through your scriptures, Lord. I pray that we would come with a humbleness, Lord, before your word. Come with a humility, a sense of awe, Lord, as you are speaking to us through these words. You're speaking life to us. I pray that these words would speak to each individual where they are personally, Lord. And I pray, God, that there would be nothing routine about this, Lord, but we would come in a way where we'd hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we're starting a brand new series this morning called Spiritual Warfare. Now, I am of the belief that what we're going to be dealing with in the next several weeks is about the most important thing that we could be dealing with at this juncture of time. So we deal with spiritual warfare, and as I've been thinking and meditating upon these passages, it's become more and more obvious there seems to be a hole or a gap or maybe even a blind spot in Christianity. It seems easy, and it depends maybe on your background, if you came up through the church, if you were in a family that was Christian and you went to church from the time you were young, or if you got save later and possibly somebody told you if you give your life to Jesus, then everything would be just awesome and great and comfortable and relaxed, and God just will bless you with wealth and prosperity and health, and your life would just be this bowl of cherries where you'd never have anything to worry about. But then you read the scriptures and you're like, well, wow, that doesn't seem like what's going on with the disciples to me. That doesn't seem really like what happens with the church in the book of Acts. It doesn't, what I'm being told or the way my life is or the way that my viewpoint about what it means to be a Christian seems different than what I'm reading in the Bible. When we read through the Bible, it could be very alarming, really. It could be disturbing to our spirits when we realize what it says about a believer's life in this world. If you ever read through the book of Hebrews, you get to chapter 11, And you're like reading about these people that were burned and sawed in half, and it says the world was not worthy of them. And then you look at Jesus and you look at his life and the way he died, and it's easy for us to mentally somehow think that Jesus died so then we can live a life where we would be free from struggle and hardship and difficulty, and then we'd have more of a comfortable life. But that we really don't see that in the Bible. What we find is just the opposite, where we're told that we're not to think it's strange when we go through this turmoil, this struggle, this pressure. We're not to be alarmed when as we go about living our life as a Christian, we find this resistance. We find all of a sudden we're in a struggle. We're alarmed to find that there is just something that is opposing our desire to live a godly life. And therein is the challenge to either surrender or step back, to retreat or to ease off, or to press forward in the name of God with the power of God leading us forward, so that we then grow in our relationship with God, but it's not without the struggle. As we come back to the Word, and as we go through these sections, the section of Scripture, what I'd like us to do is just really get back to this understanding of what it really means to be a Christian in this world. What that really means. What the Bible really says about that. And for you extra credit people, Bible student type of people, what I'd like to do on your own time, if you would also concurrently read through the book of Job and take notes and sort of do a daily devotional through the book of Job concurrently while we're studying through this section of Scripture, I think we'll begin to gain the most important, valuable experience and understanding of what it really means to be a Christian in this world. Being a Christian in this world doesn't mean it's heaven on earth. It means that it's warfare. It means that it's a battle and it's a struggle. Will you read through with me? We're going to read through this section of Scripture, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. We're not going to get all that today. But let's just see what is being exhorted here to the family of God. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Father, as we come into these Scriptures, I'm sure all in some way, shape, or form, we need perspective, Lord. We need understanding. We need possibly an adjustment in the way we view our life on this earth as a Christian, Lord. And I pray now that through your word that you would change us. You'd change us once and for all. That as we leave this morning, we would leave with our hearts strengthened, encouraged, and ready to do warfare, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So all through the Bible then, you get these exhortations about the way a Christian is supposed to view themselves in this world. And it's things like being a soldier, being a farmer, being somebody who looks forward to their reward. And so it's really important as we get into this to have our perspective be put back into place. So this morning we're going to talk about spiritual warfare fundamentals. We're going to look at four basic fundamentals that are very important to know as we move forward and get into the very specifics about the armor of God and how you and I can be successful and live victoriously in light of the fact that we are, as believers, people who have an enemy. Now, notice the first thing I'd like to point out here as we're dealing with spiritual warfare and its fundamentals, it starts off with just pointing out what our strength is. And notice in verse 10. So he says, finally, my brethren, and this is, again, this is like now the exclamation point on the book which deals with our new life in Christ, our new life as believers, what it means to be a Christian, talking about walking in wisdom and walking in the light, about who we are in Christ, positioned in Jesus Christ, that now we are different in that Christ lives in us. And the explanation of all of that, now he says all of that can just now be summed up in this very practical understanding, because he says, finally, my brethren, with all that understood, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What an exhortation there, to be strong in the Lord. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the first fundamental we find is our strength. Now that may seem simplistic, or it may seem like something, well, okay, we know that. But apparently this is something very critical, because it's something that's not normally a thing that we would think of or think to do. As new believers then, as people whose lives have changed from the natural to the spiritual, now he has to explain that we have to be strong, but now there's a difference in our strength. Something has changed to where if we try to approach this spiritual battle, which as believers we are all up against, if we try to approach it in an incorrect way, we will not be successful. So he encourages them to be strong. 1 John 5:9 speaks about this important strength. He says that we know we are not of God, or I'm sorry, we know we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's very sobering. 1 John 5:9, we know we are of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, why that's important is because it speaks of a definite power. It speaks of a power that's not able to be dealt with on a human level. And it's important for us also not to gain understanding through these series of scriptures to where we just learn about these things, but yet we don't have the power to deal with them. So in order to deal with this power that we're up against, and it is a power, to deal with this power, we need to be strong in the Lord. he says to be strong in the Lord. And that's where in Romans 8:37 it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And that's the key to being strong in the Lord. And we're going to develop the more of the how-tos about that as we go along. But when he talks about being strong in the Lord here now, it forces the believer to come to a place where we cannot be complacent anymore. The idea that the whole world lives under the power of the evil one should do something in our spirits which would cause a great dependence upon God. It should cause a trembling, a sort of a fear, but not a fear where we're afraid of being overcome, but a fear that we need to take all the resources that we have given to us by God and walk in those things. It's sort of like if we were to go to war, if we were seriously today going to get on a plane and go to Afghanistan and confront the enemy face to face, none of us would be casual about that. None of us would walk around in flip-flops and tank tops and just walk right out into the battlefield and be relaxed and have this attitude of the lack of concern. But see, I really, really believe that lukewarmness or complacency in our spiritual life has much to do with the lack of understanding of this spiritual warfare. So when you and I fail to realize this spiritual warfare and the desire of this power to do something to us, to lie to us, to ruin us and destroy us, it changes our approach. So no longer can we view our Christian life as one that's coffee and donuts and programs and vacations with other believers, but this is a completely different approach. This is a biblical approach. And it's an approach that's eye-opening, and it's an approach where he says, now in light of Satan's desire for you as a believer, in light of that, he says, be strong in the Lord. There's no other option. There's no other way to be successful. There's no other way to arrange or organize your life except to have this to be the forefront of your priority list, that with all of your heart you would make it your priority to be strong in the Lord. And this speaks of then certain activities that we do, the way that we arrange our life, sort of like if we were going to be strong in something else. What if you're going to be strong in paintballing? Well, as some of the guys went out a week or so ago, and I saw a bunch of marks on the guys from a week or so ago that went. If you're going to be strong in paintballing, you're going to go out and buy the best gun, right? You're not going to get the rented guns. Those don't have as much power, right? And you're going to get the gun that has the most amount of stuff you can put in the gun. So when other guys run out, the rented guys, they rent their guns and it runs out and it jams on them. And then you're just sitting there waiting for them and you can take advantage of them. But see, it's like that. It's like understanding the desire of Satan for us as believers, the same power that we see going on now across the world, where Christians are being slaughtered across the world in countries, the same sort of power that had had killed Jesus, the same power that had come against the disciples and then the martyrs of the church. It's the same thing. It's not different for us. And so we enlist ourselves as believers. When we become Christians, we are stepping into this warfare. And as we do, then what we do as soldiers is that now we see the importance of being strong in the Lord, knowing what the battle is, knowing how crucial that is. So he says, brethren, be strong in the Lord. And he says, and in the power of His might. Now that word might, that speaks of the power and the strength that is available. It's not used power, but it's the available power. But see, when he says power, power is the using of what is available. So now when, say for example, I don't know, say some like Tyler over there. Can you raise your hand? Kevin, Tyler? Okay, so Kevin, Tyler over here. So say, and this is not a far stretch, but say he's just extremely muscular. Just huge. That would be more might. But then when Tyler gets under the bench press and starts putting up 400 pounds, now that is power. So that's using his muscles, which is the might, with the power to accomplish a task that he's trying to accomplish. So here's the deal. We all sit here as believers, assuming you're a believer. If you're a believer here this morning, you have this might of God. The might of God that He has given you as a believer, and He's encouraging us now to be strong. And the way we're strong is that we use that might. And now as we use that might, that's when we have power. So now as we're exercising what we have, the things of the Spirit, and that's what it comes down to. The things of the Spirit will not be overcome by the power of Satan. So greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Now the problem in that scripture is then when we're sitting on this power keg of potential energy and we don't do anything with it. Now that might does not become effective. And so the encouragement after 6.5 chapters of who we are in Christ and the Christian walk, now he says basically use all that. Don't just sit on the resources. But now, if we are being overcome with evil, it's because we're not exercising our might, and that might has not become power, and we're not being strong in the Lord. And how do we do that? It's by the Spirit. The Spirit will not be overcome by the power of Satan. So that's the strength. Now the second thing is found in verse 11. In verse 11 it says, Now put on the whole armor. You might want to underline that word whole. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The inference here is that without the whole armor of God, that we would not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the second thing we find about spiritual warfare is after we know that we have this strength, and that strength must be utilized. We must be active in the things of God to be strong in God. The second thing is we notice here, this speaks about our battle. This speaks about this very fact, the blind spot that we were talking about earlier, that with Satan in some way would deceive us to think that Christianity is something other than the battle. But notice here, as he talks about this battle, he says, really engage it. Not to be afraid of it. I almost get a sense of excitement, a sense of God has put me in this cosmic thing that's beyond me, this battle that God has already won, and then He includes me in this constant battle of good and evil, empowering me to win over evil on a practical, personal level on a daily basis. So we get this idea that God has brought us into something totally beyond us. The opportunity by the power of God to defeat evil and to be personally and then in a more outward way, that we would be effective in crushing the head of Satan on a continual basis. He says, put on the whole armor. That means we are to be fully engaged in the things of God if we are going to be successful in moving forward. And again, this is where it gets exciting, because now understanding the battle, it requires a full engagement of our heart and our mind and our soul and our spirit. And as we engage the battle, then we find this success that has already been won for us at the cross at Calvary. Now here's the neat thing, is we are now in a position as believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that at the cross we have destroyed and dismantled and pulled down the strongholds of Satan by the cross applied to our lives through faith. So through faith we are disarming, it says, Satan. By faith, Satan cannot handle our power. Not the power that we have in and of ourselves, but the power of God. So it was at the cross that Satan was completely disarmed. And now he cannot win the battle against God's people as God's people walk in that victory, the victory that was won at Calvary. So he says, now engage that victory. The victory at the cross at Calvary. And he's going to go on to explain the armor of God, which we'll get into. But this is absolutely essential if you are and I are not going to be deceived and taken over by darkness and by Satan. There's just no other way. And it implies that you and I, we can't do it on our own. So what that means is we have to have this lifestyle of complete dependence upon the Lord. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. But do you see the genius in how this was designed? You see Satan wanting to destroy us. And you see God protecting us and giving us the power. The victory has already been won. And now he wants us to enjoy that victory, to walk in this victory and experience this great victory over darkness. And the way that happens is that we draw closer to God. So now the power from outside that's looking to overtake us actually draws us closer in our relationship with God. The genius of that. But do you see how another approach will never work? Or just a casual type of Christianity where we just plug into some sort of religious machinery and go on our merry way. That doesn't work either. And that's why it's so important what we do and the way we're set up here at Calvary Chapel is that we're set up to arm you, to give you the Word and to give you the truth and to build you up in the things of God. And we're not okay just not coming into a real relationship with God and growing in that. It's not going to be the best church for somebody who's just looking to kind of plug in and plug out and disengage once you're out of the doors. We're not set up for that. We're set up to encourage believers in their walk with God, understanding the necessity of a full engagement of their heart, mind, soul, and spirit if they're going to be successful in this spiritual battle. But boy, you sure find when you engage God with all you've got, then that's when you really find the battle, don't you? But see, that's all normal. Sometimes we think that's weird. It's like every time I step forward in my faith, it seems like everything goes wrong. But that's normal. Because now we're being attacked. Spurgeon said, Satan doesn't kick a dead horse. And I really like that. And I'm thinking about how in the book of Acts, there was these evil spirits, and there was a guy who wasn't converted trying to do spiritual things. And the evil spirits said, "Who are you? I don't even know you. We know Paul. We know Jesus, but who are you?" See, it's this understanding. But see, here's where it gets good. Don't stop at that point. Don't retreat. Because now it's going to get good because God's already won the victory. And now the pressure and the battle is causing us to engage God even deeper and to be more dependent upon Him, which is causing us to be more victorious, more fruitful, and more successful. And don't ever stop before you get to that place. Don't ever hesitate because things are difficult and hard, because that's when it gets good. And we have biblical precedent for that. The children of Israel going into the promised land. And they saw the enemies and they saw the big fortified cities and the big soldiers and warriors and people. And they wanted to go back to Egypt, to slavery. Why was that? It was like that because it was probably something they weren't expecting. They probably thought, maybe some of us think, like sometime, somewhere, everything's going to be a lot easier. As soon as this problem's better, then my life will be easier. And if you're a little older, has that ever happened? Has that problem gone away and then there's no more? There's just another one. And then sometimes there's more than others. But We have to have that understanding. This is not heaven. This is a battlefield. This is a place to engage in warfare. This is not a time to go back to Egypt or even to stay in the wilderness and go around in circles for 40 years. It's time to move forward. And as we move forward into the promised land, God will give us the victory. But it's not going to be without opposition, ever. There's always going to be that opposition. And so how do we keep moving forward? We do it by faith in the Spirit. And as we move forward, we realize and recognize how much more we need to depend on God every second. And as we do, our relationship with God grows, and the battle actually makes us stronger. Without the battle, we are weaklings in our faith. We need the battle. Otherwise, there's no growth. Otherwise, there's no development. And that's what he's speaking about here in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That means the schemes, the seductions, the deceit of the devil. So there's the origin of our battle. The origin of our battle is the devil. A real, literal devil. Now the third thing, kind of flowing from that, is found in verse 12. Spiritual fundamental, or spiritual warfare fundamental number three, it's our enemy. Notice what he says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So he's saying, know your enemy now. That's heavy right there, isn't it? I mean, is it easy to read through that casually? And the Apostle Paul is saying there are legions of organized powers against your faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that the devil's desire is to lie, murder, destroy, kill. We have all these descriptions of him. You can't just read through that casually. You can't just go through, oh, that's cool, right on. All right, who's playing today, by the way? This is alarming. And it's real. And we have to open our eyes to this reality of knowing our enemy. Because if we don't know our enemy, then we won't fight the correct fight. The Apostle Paul said that, to fight the good fight. It's possible that we're fighting against a whole bunch of stuff, but are we fighting the good fight? The good fight is the right fight. It's getting to the source of the fight. It's fighting in a way that we are going to be victorious every time, and it's walking in the Spirit. Our very walking in the Spirit is conquering Satan. Our very engaging of the things of God is conquering Satan. But as we see how organized, this is an organization, it's like the spiritual mob on steroids. They're all very highly organized, and there's branches and flow charts. That when he says principalities, that speaks of the first third of the fallen angels. These are the principalities that are under Satan himself. That there's a third of them. They're not everywhere. They're not omniscient. But they're specific, and there's a third of those fallen angels, and these are the principalities that are set up. And then when he says it against powers, that's speaking of people in certain places, especially certain places of influence, who are placed in certain places in the world, stages of this world, empowered by evil to do evil things. Now that's pretty heavy too. You might think of like Hitler would be a great example. But you think all across the world of the evil axis that spread across the world of hatred and violence and evil, that Satan actually has underneath his fallen angels specific people who are carrying out his will. And then when he says against the rulers of darkness, that speaks of the ruler of this world, the prince of this age. It speaks of a certain rule over certain places of darkness. And I've always felt like here in our area in Flower Mound, I felt like there's a specific organized system of darkness that is over this place. And I really believe a lot of that is the evil that's put out with people not coming into a real relationship with God, but feeling comfortable in a religious system and not in a relationship. And that religious system taking the place of a personal relationship. And that's so evil because it makes people feel like they're okay. When in reality, a religious system will not make you okay, but only the blood of Jesus Christ who is shed on the cross for our sins. And as we place our faith in Jesus Christ, then we are okay and our sins are washed away. But a religious system can't do that. So if somebody says that you have to be baptized in this church, or you have to be a member of this church, or you have to do something other than believing in Jesus Christ, which is the essence of our salvation. And I believe that is the certain deceit and lie that that in a place they call the Bible Belt, where people have become inoculated to the things of God and to His Word, to where they don't penetrate the heart, and people are more comfortable plugging into some sort of religious system instead of coming humbly to the cross at Calvary. But see, there's all different ways that these systems are at work to deceive people and to seduce people and to conform people into the image of this world. And it's only by the power of God that we'll have any opportunity to break down those chains of bondage. But when you read that and you start to know your enemy, the good thing is, well, now we know how to fight. The enemy is not the person sitting next to you or behind you, or the enemy is not the person out there. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is his power. So knowing that, then we know how to fight then. So knowing that doesn't mean now we have to fight against one another or people. Now we know that the way we fight is spiritually. The battle is a spiritual battle. We don't fight against things that are physical. So now how do we fight spiritually? Well, the devil can't fight prayer. He has no response to that weapon except to get us not to pray. That's the best thing he can do. He can't beat prayer. And the devil can't fight humility. He has no answer for that except to make us proud. As we say, humble and dependent upon the Lord, prayerful, the devil can only sit back and watch and try to get us not to do that. But he has no answer for that. He has no answer for the Word of God except for to try to distort it, twist it, or to get it to be ineffective or non-existent. But when you and I come to the Word of God, read the Word of God prayerfully, and not just in a way where we're trying to gain information, but when we're interacting with the living God. Because God's Word is living, and it's active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The devil doesn't have an answer for that. He can't fight the truth except to try to get us not to believe the truth. But see, when we're strong in the Lord now we get to understand that We're winning as we move forward in the things of the Spirit. He can't fight that. So he says, in regard to that, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So always remember then that our battle is really, it's a spiritual battle. And that the early church knew that. And that's why they didn't go out and protest everything and politically changed the world. What they did was spiritually change the world. They shared the gospel with people. And it's amazing how women's rights were improved, how slavery was overthrown, how the whole really Roman government empire was overthrown by the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's power there. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because of the power of God to salvation. We want to change things? Walk in the Spirit. We want to affect our church community. We want to affect our community, Flower Mound and in North Texas and Dallas. And the way to do that is to engage God with all we have in the Spirit and live out and walk out the gospel in our lives. And we have this promise that we will be effective and fruitful, but we won't be overcome by the things of darkness. And then the last thing is found in verse 13 about spiritual warfare fundamentals. The last thing is that there's this certain time. Notice what he says. He says, again, do you think he's trying to emphasize something? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now this is interesting, because it's the grace of God that is really holding back the fullness of the evil of Satan. Aren't you glad for that? If God took his hands off, I mean, what's Satan want to do? He's restricted in what he can do by the grace of God. But you'll notice in this verse, it speaks about certain times. You know the times. You know the phone call, the message, the job situation, the urgent news, the draft, terrible news. It's those times. He's saying here that we're to engage the fullness of the spiritual things in our relationship with God so that we would withstand in the evil day. He's saying there are particular days that are more evil than others. And thank God it's not that God gives us seasons in life. And we're always battling. We're never not battling. But there are certain things, certain days, those days. And he says that in the Spirit, in those days, in that day, when you are ambushed, sidetracked, when tragedy strikes, in those days, it is the engagement of God with a whole heart that will get you through those days. And in those days, it becomes extremely important, because what you will find is that we will look for a coping mechanism. When the house caves in, I'm not talking about my dad's house. He's back in, by the way. When the house caves in, that was one of those days, right? When the house caves in or gets struck by lightning or burns down or whatever, in those days, we will find something very interesting. And this is where we find the grace of God allowing us to go through certain days, certain times. Because in those certain days and the certain times, we get to a crossroads. Maybe we've got to a place where the measure of faith that we've been given at that particular time, that we've gotten pretty good at that. That we've been able to exercise ourselves in this level of difficulty and hardship. And so we come to another place. It reminds me of Abraham. How he was told to leave his land and go, and God would promise to bless him and promise to make his descendants as more numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And we follow that he had these gradients of tests, degrees of difficulties, until we get to Genesis chapter 22, where he is to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Now, the whole story wasn't about him sacrificing his son. It was about the test of what he held so dear to himself, his most precious thing. Would he be willing, with his most precious thing, not to hold it so tight to himself? Because perhaps it had become something that stopped him from moving forward in his faith. And so God allowed this time, this day, allowed this test in his life, as a way to remove or to be challenged about what he would hold so dear in his heart. Because the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You'll either love the one or hate the other. And God must be fully enthroned in our hearts. And so we come to these days where we'll have these crossroads where by the hand of God, he'll allow these tests and trials to be filtered into our life so that our faith may grow and develop, so that we will be more dependent on him, more trusting of Him, that we are fall before Him in a deeper way of dependence. And in those days, we will have the challenge of then running into other ways, looking for other things to cope with the pain and the pressure and the difficulty. And these are the days, and this is the encouragement, that in those days, the only answer and the only way we will get through those days is to fully engage God, to allow whatever pain that we may be going through even to be experienced and not to be run from, to let patience have its work, to let the trial do its thing, to stay in that crucible of fire so that the dross gets pulled away from the silver. The impurities that are clinging to our heart will be taken away so that what's left is something more precious than gold and silver. And what's that? It's our faith. There it is. That's the answer. The answer in these times, the answer for Abraham, the answer for us in the evil day, the answer is faith. Because we're going to be tempted not to have faith. We're going to be tempted to say, forget it. We're going to be tempted to quit. We're going to be tempted to do something else. We're going to be tempted to deny God. And when we do that, we've fallen into the hand of the enemy. We can never lose our faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for getting us up this morning. There's quite a battle going on this morning, I'm sure, for us being here. And Lord, as we continue to move forward now in understanding the things of faith, the spiritual warfare, and as we leave today, Lord, I know that the world system is organized so that we would be too busy to engage You, so that we would be too filled with stress to move forward in our relationship with You. We would be putting out too many fires. We'd be in survival mode, Lord. I know this world system is not designed to encourage walking in the Spirit. I know this world system is not designed to help us engage You, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that for all of us here, that at this day, as the day approaches, that we would make a point. We'd make a point to make You the King of our lives. That You would reign supreme in our hearts, Lord, without rival. That our hearts would fully be Yours. And if anybody here has been lukewarm or complacent or just caught up in the things, the cares and concerns of this world, Lord, I know You've called us in a whole different way, so that we would bring ourselves back again to the cross, the place of our salvation, and we'll kneel down before You humbly, Lord, and say, Father, forgive us, for we have sinned. Let us again look upon that cross where You died, remembering what we've been redeemed from, understanding what our life in this world means, knowing that heaven is in the future and this life is a battle. We stand on the victory of Jesus Christ, and we proclaim victory in Jesus Christ. And as we move forward from here, Lord, we ask for victory One, for our own lives, in our own lives. Two, for our families. Three, for our communities. And four, for our sphere of influence. We want to pray in the name of Jesus Christ that we would have victory in all those places, that people would be one for you and begin to walk wholeheartedly in the things of the truth by your Spirit. And Father, I pray for anybody here who has never been released from the grips of the enemy. I pray for anybody here who's never been born again, never has had their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, that if they were to die today, they would not go to heaven. I pray, Lord. Maybe somebody here has grown up in the church, has had some church experience, but they've never seriously given themselves to you as a holy living sacrifice. And I pray that today would be that day, that you wouldn't let another day go by without giving your life to Jesus Christ. And if that's you, you can do that right here, right now, right where you are, just in your seat, by asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, understanding that you need a Savior because you're a sinner. And you can do nothing about your sin but to receive that forgiveness that was offered only by Jesus Christ at the cross. And for anybody else here this morning who needs a time and a place to get right with Jesus, who have gotten complacent and lethargic and lukewarm and worldly and secular in their minds, in their hearts, in any way, today is the day. Don't let another day elapse without making sure Jesus Christ is your Lord over every area of your life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, guys. We're going to worship the Lord. And there'll be people up front if you'd like to come forward for prayer. Encourage you to do that. And this week, again, if you get a chance, read through the book of Job. Take notes and keep engaging that as we move forward. But God bless you guys. Let's have a great week in the Lord. Amen.